Ben Yehoshua, Prakim Gimel, and Dalet. Last time you spent you had the opportunity to have a full period to really see all of the text. And the idea is for us to kind of plug it into its larger context. In the event that you had a chance to think it through a little bit, while also just getting down the basics of what's happening in the text, were there any things that were striking, any words that you felt came up excessive amounts of times, anything that you caught going through? It's fine if you didn't, that wasn't the goal, but if you did, it's a great starting point to see what you caught. Yeah?
I just feel like it was like a lot of the instructions were repeated many times, like what to do in the garden. Like,
it was definitely procedural. There was something very specific happening.
And it came up like a few times.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
I'm just wondering why.
Aron, Brit, Hashem. Aron, Brit, Shem Havaya. That's how we write Yukit Havke without writing it out, Shem Havaya. Yeah.
Moshe comes up a couple of times.
Moshe comes back. We see the return of Moshe, who at least gets a shout out in these prakim.
Yehoshua
also does at least appear. I mean, he doesn't appear, he gets a lot more prominent than before. Good. Aaron, Brit, Hashem, Moshe, Yehoshua.
I don't know if Bracha's here this time, but she mentioned last time that there's a lot of imagery of like Yitzhak Mitzrayim.
For example,
there's like at Harsina where it like says don't come close to Harsinai. So you have
that's Matan Torah.
Matan Torah. Then okay. There's also like the splitting of the sea.
So we have, one second, in terms of Matan Torah imagery, we have don't come close, we have the concept, what looks like basically the Shloshet Yemei HaGbalah. There's a sense of after 3 days, there was a 3-day period, and also that idea of not coming too close, which you said is reminiscent of Matan Torah. Good.
And she also said like that the waters, like just how the yarding kind of like split and split up as well, so to like by
right. Terms. I mean, the actual splitting itself is clearly reminiscent of Kriyas Yamsuf. Anything else we're picking up on? Do we have any other characters in these two chapters?
Individuals or like groups? Like
either one. Them, like the Kohanim come up again and again.
What? And their feet came up a lot.
And their feet. The Kohanim, yes. I'm not probably not as prominently as the Kohanim.
Yeah.
The Kohanim are really the emphasis. But of the two put next to each other, the Kohanim really get the prominence there. Good.
Nosei Aaron.
I'm going to leave that with, I mean, the Kohanim are the Nosei Aaron, and there's clearly a connection between the two. Yes. Think about also phrases that you might have seen in other places that were striking, that you were like, oh, I remember that one, I learned that in.
Oh, she's... Marissa said with the, so it's going to be a sign in your midst when, like, when your children ask you.
Oh yeah, with the Arba Banin.
Yeah, that like children are going to ask, or you should tell your children stuff.
What the two of you are referring to are two paragraphs, which are striking paragraphs, that are very reminiscent of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Those paragraphs are Perek Dalid Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Vayumer al Bnei Yisrael Limor, Asher Yishalun Bneichem Achar et Avotam Limor, Ma'a Bnei Ma'ilev Odatem et Bneichem Limor, Bechule. It's a lot of telling your children what it was like. Here's another one. Where did it go? I think it was even more explicit. It was for sure another one that was from more explicit.
When your kids ask about the story.
There it is. It's look in Perek Dalid Pasuk Vav. L'ma'an tiyeh zot ot v'kir b'chem ki yishalun b'nechem machar le'mor ma'a b'ni ma'ila l'chem v'amartan l'hem asher nichortu imei ha'ardein imnei ha'aron. There's this idea of telling your children the higat to l'bincha kind of piece of Pesach that definitely comes up in that terminology 100%. We have, let's call it higat to l'bincha, which is reminiscent of Pesach when you see us in the train. For Perekimo Pasukalif, where you started. Vayashkin Yehoshua Baboker. Right? That's a term that we often associate with Abraham. That's why you all immediately identified it with Abraham. Vayashkem Baboker seems to be reminiscent of Abraham. Speaking of Sefer Bereshit, what word appears here that appears in a really weird context?
I know Skoshu, like to come close. Doesn't Yitzhak say that when it comes to fear, Yaakov and Esav? Like,
interesting. That's really specific. Could be. Could be. Where does it say that? What's the context?
In Pasuk Tet, in Paragimah, it says, Rehna Shal Yitzhak Goshu, Hine Vishimuzi
Rehna. Goshu Hina.
I come here.
I'll take it. Like it. Goshu, that's Goshu Hina. That's possibly Yitzchak and Yaakov. It's also possibly Yehuda and Yosef, Vayigash. Good. Perekimo Pasuk Tetzain. Oddest name for a place ever?
Adam?
Yeah. Adam sort of appears as the name of a place, but Adam shows up.
Which
one? The last, yeah. Go Shuhena, reminiscent of either Yitzchak and Yaakov saying, come to me and to feel his arm, I think. I have to double check that I wasn't thinking in that way. Also, Vayigash Yehuda Elav is the beginning of Parshat Vayigash, is the connection to Yehuda and Yosef, which is also possibly a nice connection. And then Adam is mentioned, not explicitly in the sense that it's not him, but there's a name of a place called Adam, which is fascinating. We're missing one major player. One major group of players, rather. We definitely have Reuben, Gad, and Hatzi Shevet Menashe.
The leaders of each, one leader each from each tribe.
What are they called?
I don't know.
We have representatives, let's call them, of the 12 Shvatim. But the number 12 comes up constantly in terms of the Shvatim. Of B'nai Yisrael being divided into 12 parts, but the term Shnemasar comes up again and again and again and again and again. The idea of dividing Klal Yisrael into their 12 parts. We are actually going to tie all this together very quickly. We're going to keep dumbing stuff on the board. Shalom. Didn't miss anything. No worries. We have another word that just comes up in terms of a unique word by Reuben Gad Chasi Shevet Menashe, the legal Chamushim. What does Chamushim remind us of? Also, Yitzchak Mitzrayim, right? Chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael mi'aretz Mitzrayim at the beginning of Parshat B'shalach, that they go up Chamushim, whatever that word may mean. Here it means armed. There it also may mean armed. We have Chamushim. Also, Yitzchak Mitzrayim. Imagery. Good. So a lot of stuff going on here. What do we notice possibly about a lot of what we put up on the board? And not everything, we're going to tie everything together. But what seems to be happening here? Kohanim, he got it to the Bincha, Yitzias Mitzrayim, by Yeshkem Abraham Babokir, so to speak. Adam, Shlosh Dinei Agbala and Matan Torah, Kriyas Yamsuf with the splitting of the Yarden, the 12 Shvatim, Chamushim in Yitzias Mitzrayim, he got it to the Bincha. What does all this? What does this seem to be doing?
A microcosm of Jewish history.
What?
A microcosm of Jewish history.
Like, be more specific than Jewish history, and Adam is not just Jewish history. More specific.
World history. No.
Up until that point, what is that contained within? Who said it? Somebody just said it.
No, I just said it. Chumash?
It's recapping all of Chumash. If we watch the imagery throughout the entire Parsha, this entire story, there seems to be an intentional recap of huge chunks of Chumash and a stop on the way in every single Sefer. What does that mean in terms... What does that potentially mean? I haven't seen this written anywhere, but I strongly suspect this is what's happening. Let's go to Marissa's diagram. Okay?
It's Eliana's.
It's Eliana's? Yeah. Eliana's, I apologize. Eliana's diagram. Okay? How? What was happening in terms of the crossing of the Yardin? How? First, let's talk about Kriyas Yamsuf. How did Kriyas Yamsuf work? What happened? Just in terms of the actual physical Kriyas Yamsuf, in terms of the nature of going through the Yamsuf, what happened? The sea was one large sea, and what happened? It broke apart and made two walls. Is that what's happening here?
No.
No, that's not what's happening here. Here we have the Yardin that's flowing down, right? The Yardin is flowing down. And what's happening to the Yardin?
One is making like a wall, and the other one's just like freezing.
The water, just paraphrasing what you're saying, is coming down, and then it's stopping at a certain point, and the water is making a wall. And even though the Navi points out, even though it should have overflowed its banks, it didn't. It stays within that context, and it stops here and makes a wall. And instead, unlike Kriyas Yamsuf, where there was a wall of water on both sides, that stream kept on going down, and then what was left behind was dry land. This is just empty dry land, going all the way down. It's dividing the Yardin in half. Where does this Yardin start from? Where does this river start from, according to the Psukim? What's the name of the place?
Adam?
The river starts, interestingly, at a place named Adam.
Where does that end?
What's happening right here? What's happening at this moment of the crossing?
Like,
who's the centerpiece? Yoshua. Yoshua is leading them across. Which means that this entire block is very possibly the entirety of history, the entirety of Chumash, coming from Adam all the way down into Yoshua. Finish off the phrase for me. Ein Mayim.
Ella Torah.
All of Torah is being recapped here and is being held within the Mayim up until the crossing of the Yardin. We go through Adam. We stop at Avram Vayeshkem Aboker. You guys pointed out that it might be even referencing Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yosef, Yehuda, with the Vayigashu. We go on to Shmot. There's a lot of discussion from Shmot there. We have Yetzias Mitzrayim. We have Chamushim. We have the division of the Yardin itself. We have the Higat to Labincha paragraphs. We have a discussion of Abraham, for sure. We have Yetzias Mitzrayim. We have Kriyas Yamsuf. We have Matan Torah in terms of the Shloshet Yemei Hagbala and the centrality of the Aron. We have Matan Torah. What's going to be indicative of the entirety of Sefer Vayikra? The emphasis on? The Kohanim. What's the linkage between Kohanim and Sefer Vayikra, even on a term level? What do Chazal call Vayikra? Torat Kohanim. It's called Torat Kohanim. So the emphasis on the Kohanim gives us all of Sefer Vayikra. Sefer Devarim, which we'll talk about 2 years from now, is all about the breakdown as we move away from the Ki'ish Echad B'Lev Echad state at Har Sinai, where we're all like one person. The story that's all about the book, that's all about the breakdown and the individualization of the unique pieces of Klal Yisrael, is Sefer Bamidbar, where we break up into the Degalim and then eventually into the 12 Shvatim. We each one have our own unique identity. That's the 12 Shvatim that keep getting emphasized, is going to be Sefer Bamidbar. And if one has a sensitive ear and is familiar with the Sefer Devarim, Sefer Devarim is just Moshe Rabbeinu making his long speech. There is terminology here that's very similar or indicative of Sefer Devarim. Phrases like, these are just some examples, we'll give the one of the strongest examples. In Perek Dalid, Pasuk Chav Dalid, the very last Pasuk in Perek Dalid, L'ma'an da'at kol ha'mei ha'aretz ki yad Hashem ki chazakahi l'ma'an yira'atem et Hashem Elokechem kol ha'yamim. There's a sense of grandeur in the psukim that comes out in Devarim terminology. That's only one of a few examples. We go all the way through Devarim. Ein mayim ela Torah, perhaps. All of the Yardin is coming down and we're recapping history from Adam all the way to Devarim. And at this point, Torah Shebichtav stops. Torah Shebichtav ends. We identified Prakim Aleph and Bet as preparations. We didn't cross yet. We weren't there yet. One of the words they make on the board is Avor, comes up again a ton in this parak. Because this is the crossing. This is when we make that crossing. And so we look back and reminisce on the totality of the Torah as we transition into Nevi'im. Who did we identify? This is not a trick question. Is our character who's going to transition us into Nevi'im? So who needs to take prominence here if it's going to work? And who does take prominence already very early on in his own Sefer in these Prakim? Yoshua. Right? We expected this to take a lot longer, but it doesn't take so long. It's in fact emphasized twice. Perek Gimel Pasuk Zayin Vayomer Hashem al Yehoshua Hayom Hazeh Achel Gadelcha Be'enei Kol Yisrael Asher Yida'un Ki Ka'asher Hayiti Im Moshe Yeimach. God says to Yeshua, on this day I will now begin Achel. It didn't happen before, because now is Yeshua's time. Now I will begin to raise you up and to make you larger than life in the eyes of Israel, that they'll know that just like I was with Moshe, I will be with you at this moment of crossing. The transition is happening. So much to the point that it actually happens. We need to have it emphasized. Not only that, if we talk about it constantly, the breakdown of Pesukim, of the Parshiot, look at there's one Pasuk in the middle of Perek Dalet. The Pasuk gets its own stumot before and after it. Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yadalet. Bayomahu gidel Hashem et Yoshua v'neikol Yisrael v'yiroto kashir yirot Moshe kol yimei chayav. The Torah, the Navi makes a point of making a break before and after, contemplate that this moment is when Yoshua rises. This is his moment of prominence. Because he's the person who's going to take over. And he's taking over right now. We're moving from Torah into Nevi'im. From the charted territory into the uncharted territory. From the clarity of Eimayim el Torah into a realm of Nevi'im, which we've never been in before. We have the water and we have the dry land. We have the two sides, the two opposite sides, and this moment of transition that's being emphasized. Thoughts, reflections?
It's very cool.
Oh, it's true. But I think it's when you look at it from this perspective, when you put these things on the board, when you realize that, like, this imagery keeps coming up, something is clearly happening here. And there's that emphasis in that way. And I also think that in terms of looking back, we're also trying to make a tikkun. We have to fix what we made and what we didn't do well. Meaning we're coming back not only to the word avor, and doing the avor of Perek Aleph, and letting Yoshua rise to prominence, in a way where it's no longer Yoshua Misharet Moshe Eved Hashem, where the emphasis on him only being a Misharet and Moshe being the Eved. Again, here there's strong terminology of Kashir Hayiti Im Moshe Hayet Imach, meaning now it's happening. God is with you all the days of your life, like I was with Moshe. Moshe's now past. And I'm with you. Like Moshe, but I'm with you. We're there. But there's also a tikkun in terms of what we saw with Perek Bet. What was Perek Bet? What did we talk about? What was Rachav coming to symbolize, to embody, to show us the importance of?
Tshuva.
Of tshuva, of doing tshuva for what in particular? What kept us from going into the land in the first place?
The Meraglim.
The Meraglim. Where here might we see the Meraglim? Or a tikkun of them? Our 12 Shvatim, which are emphasized again and again and again and again, and given extreme prominence in this story. Take one leader from each tribe, kind of like you did before, but this time, I'm going to give you very specific instructions. What are those 12 Shvatim sent to do?
Take a stone.
All of them take a stone. What are they going to write on those stones?
The Torah.
The Torah. We're leaving behind the subjective perspective of the 12 Shvatim, of the 12 leaders of each tribe, and we're giving them much more specific, objective instructions and objective perspectives. You're going to go through, you're going to take a stone, and you're going to write the Torah on the stone and carry the Torah's objective perspective with you. You're going to establish the Torah in Eretz Yisrael. You're going to establish that objective perspective in Eretz Yisrael in contrast to the leaders of the 12 tribes who last crossed this water in order to go in and see what the land was like. There's a tikkun being made here with an emphasis on the Shvatim. That is why they're very much being put here and being put prominently. And they're going to write the Torah in an Evan. Evan, we'll talk about this more in another context, but Evan Lashon HaKodesh is all about continuity, eternality. Rocks, stones, they last eternally. They also are indicative of that even in the word itself. Evan is a conjunction of two words.
Av and Ben.
Evan, stones are all about continuity. And so they're writing this for continuously, for all generations, the objective perspective of the Torah that has to carry them through Eretz Yisrael. Where do they come to when they get to the other side of the Yarden? The name of the place? Come to Gilgal. What does Gilgal mean?
Circle.
Or cycle. What's happening at Gilgal? The names of the places, all names are significant. When we come across the Yarden, we're cycling back through all of the Torah and all of history. We're doing a tikkun on whatever there needs to be a tikkun on. And we're recognizing that there's a full circle that's come to in terms of the end of Torah. But the constant need to repeat and go over Torah as we move from Torah Shebichtav to Torah Sheba'al Peh. As we move from Torah to Nevi'im. We're coming to Gilgal, we're coming to the end of that cycle and beginning the next cycle. Both in moving forward and also moving backward. Both in terms of constantly repeating the Torah and clarifying the Torah. And moving forward into what's Torah Sheba'al Peh. Torah Sheba'al Peh, which is embodied by what? What is the book or set of books that we consider the paradigm of Torah Sheba'al Peh in its origin? The Mishnah. Mishnah Milashon. Lishanot, which means to say again and again and again and again and again. The Shana is the part of the year that keeps going around and around and around and around and around. So we come to Gilgal because we're going to start going around and around and around the Torah again and again and again. Which is why the Aron Brit is at the center of this Parsha. As we go into Eretz Yisrael, we move from, and Rashi points this out, and there are a lot of indications of this, the Aron makes a move. Where is the Aron situated the entire time that we're in the desert? In the center. There's all of Klal Yisrael all around, our four sides that we talked about in terms of the four Degalim, surrounding the Mishkan, which is in the center. Where does the Aron move to at this moment in time?
The
Aron comes to the front. The Aron is leading the charge. The Aron is no longer in the center. We're no longer living in a way where God is guiding us with Ananim, with Eish, with miracles. All we have now to cling on to is the Torah, which is why we're reviewing the Torah, which is why we're going back through the Torah. We're clinging on to that Aron. That Aron has to guide us. Those Avanim have to be established with the Torah written on them. We now have the charge, as we go into Eretz Yisrael, through Yehoshua, who is the carrier of Moshe's Torah, to put the Aron in front of us, and to follow that Aron, and to write that Torah down on Avanim, and establish them for all of our people. We're moving from Torah, Sinifim, Torah Shebichtav, Torah Sheba'al Peh, from this side of the Yarden, from this side of the Yarden to this side of the Yarden, but it's being also paralleled by the water versus the dry land. Clear? Questions? Thoughts? Comments? Yeah.
Is the dry land like what we're now about to embark on? Symbolically?
So I wonder in two ways, meaning. We're missing kind of the mikveh that is the desert, so to speak. The immersion in a clarity of God and being surrounded by God and constantly immersed within God. And at the same time, moving into the uncharted territory that is Nevi'im and Torah Sheba'al Peh. I think it's a little bit of both. I suspect. Charava is also a nice way by using that term to also use another term that reminds us of Kriyas Yam Suf. Tov. We've crossed. Next week, in Parakeh, we start to figure out what it means to actually live in Eretz Yisrael in three distinct stages, and we'll work our way through that in Parakeh next week.